right, welcome back to the Final Say podcast. Mason has returned.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm glad to be back. It's definitely been a it was a long week without you guys. I really did miss you. I did listen to last week's episode and I did love it. You guys were buzzing off the hop there. One of the all-time, I'd say, best intros that we've had. You guys are right off the hop. We're energetic. We're lively. And I found it very entertaining last week.
Hell yeah.
Did you guys miss me last week?
Bro, of course.
Of course we did. But I knew you were just shredding it up in Vegas. So I was a little jealous.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wrote down a couple bullet points for Vegas. Always know where the bathroom is. Never turn down a piss. Wear comfy shoes. That's a must. If you're going to walk in the strip, you need comfy shoes. Don't care how good you look. Don't care how bad you look. You need comfy shoes in that place. And also, I'll bring a lighter because nowhere in that city sells a lighter. They'll sell you cigarettes every 15 feet, but will not sell you a lighter every like 10,000. So, and cash as well, because tipping is very important there. But yes, that was fun.
You're ripping dry darts. You're ripping darts with no lighter. Just let them hang in your mouth.
Pretty much, yeah. It was like, yeah, I used them pretty much as a straw the whole time. Considering, and then unless somebody near me was smoking one, then I'd just go up and say, hey, can I borrow that for a minute? But other than that, it was a bit of a struggle the whole week trying to find lighters. But yeah, got some nice golfing in Sedona, Arizona. I really found the appreciation of Planet Fitness. Because, Deb, you go to Planet Fitness, right?
Well, lately I've been going to the zoo, but yeah, I do have a fitness membership.
Oh, shit, you stepped up. Okay, let's get we got a big dog over here.
Yep. Yeah, and, I pretend that I work out.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's just over there sniffing the bench seats. Ty, where do you go to the gym?
You know, I just do some home workouts. So.
Oh, you're a home
my garage. Like, the garage.
You got a setup or no?
Yeah, you know, I just got a bench, maybe a couple dumbbells. Just like, oh, okay. I almost feel like I'm in prison. Like, that's a mentality that I got to have when I'm working out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, the gym I went to in Sedona felt like a prison as well. It was about like the size of, I'd say, like a two-bay garage with like one room just of free weights and the rest of like really old machines. It looked like they were in like a Planet Fitness at one point, but like got like, used so much that Planet Fitness was like, okay, this is not unsafe, so let's sell it to somebody else. And then this place bought it. So that's pretty much how the gym, I didn't realize was, I thought all gyms were just like Planet Fitness and like, you know, everything kind of clean, you know, there's everything in the world. No, this place had like, it was like, it had like six different machines and then the rest were like free weights. So it was like a completely different experience than what I'm used to when I go to the gym. And it made me realize how, overall lucky I am that I live in the Northeast when it comes to gyms.
It's very true.
I think we have a gym capita here, like our gym is the best.
We got a monopoly on the gym. On the gym world.
I think Southern Cal might take us on that.
LA Fitness, though?
They got the outdoors and everything like that. That's beautiful. But you're definitely right. We're definitely spoiled up here.
Oh, well, that's, yeah. And I'm very thankful for that, considering how hot everyone is down there. Jesus Christ. There's just 15s walking around the grocery stores or in your local neighborhoods. Even the older women, I'm talking like 65. Everyone stays in good shape there. I didn't see one bad looking person, like really bad looking person the whole time I was there. It's just beautiful people who just care a lot about fitness, staying in shape, and just looking good. So,
yeah, people in New England don't care. They don't care how they look.
Yeah, don't give a fuck around here. So that's pretty cool. I went to the Vegas Golden Knights game 4. A little hockey talk.
How was that? Just
get it off the hop.
How was that vibe?
That was – I know that they were talking about, like, oh, Nashville, they got, like, a rocket barn. Oh, the Hurricanes got the loudest place in fucking the country. No. No, Vegas, you were there. You're like, we were there for warm up, and the guy cranking those tunes in there must have been like Diplo or some sort of DJ on how he was spitting these tracks off one after another, just hyping up the crowd. I was waving the towel at Ryan Reeves' stick handle in the corner in warm up. It was unbelievable how loud we got, the wave must have gone around like 7 times, like at each period during the game. And Carolina, I was watching the game the other night, couldn't even get the wave to start. And they're talking about how loud their crowd is. No, nothing compared to Vegas. Have you guys ever been to a playoff game or anything?
No, I've never been to a. I've been to a Bruins game, not a playoff hockey game.
Any like basketball, baseball, nothing?
I went to a Celtics. Oh, I think I went to Red Sox too. Yeah, just Red Sox and Celtics.
Do they give you towels at those?
Celtics give you like a like crappy. Or at least they used to. Like when I was younger, they gave you like a crappy T-shirt.
Oh, hey, I'll take it. Like, I'll take anything I can get.
Yeah, I was gonna say they had towels for everything, dude. I am the number one person that says towels should be every game, no matter what, no matter when, no matter where. Waving those towels after a goal or like even just during the game hypes everyone up. You've got a towel in your hand, waving around like a fucking like. It just hypes everyone.
He's got that. He's got that on lock. He's been doing it for hours during that game.
I was waving the towel on the plane home. That's how much fun I had at this game. Obviously, I was the crucial game four where the Knights had fallen down 2-0 to Colorado Avalanche. They battle back and steal one. They go to Colorado and steal game five from them. Away, and now they have a chance tonight to close out in game six. I think they're gonna do it. I think Colorado's against the ropes. They can't play in that. They can't hear themselves in that T-Mobile Arena. It was honestly shocking how bad the fast five or the top five on Colorado played in game four, where like they didn't even look like they had a chance to even touch the puck. So that was one of the biggest surprising things for me, considering that they got kind of smoked game three against them. But anyway, so I'm hoping Vegas wraps that up, because I'm on Team Vegas as of today, since the Bruins lost last night. What did you guys think of the game last night?
Pain. So upset about it, man. It was the most brutal game six to watch. To end the season like that, it was just brutal. Not even put up a fight towards the end. Just gross.
Yeah. I watched the whole game. We showed some life towards the end with Marchand's second goal. Really the only guy who even was trying and putting his heart into that game. I felt like everyone else was just like skating by, not even skating hard towards pucks. Just like we just weren't in it, and the Islanders wanted it more. And then you see those two empty net goals in the end, 6-2. And I'm just
hurts.
I'm walking downstairs to my bed. I'm holding back tears.
And yeah, then, it was definitely tough to watch last night. And overall, it kind of came when I was watching the game, a lot came to my mind, considering that, Devin, did you say that Rask might be injured?
They were. I don't know if there were rumors circulating or if it was actually some truth to it, but they did say that he had like a lingering injury, and that's why they like took him out game five.
Yeah, game five.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true.
I remember watching it and considering that like it was somewhat close still in game five when they did take him out, and I was a little bit confused by that, considering that like we didn't need to win, but. You think if we're going to get that rally comeback, it's going to happen in Boston, if anything.
Right.
And not in the Coliseum in game six. But overall, it definitely came down to where, like, I feel like two of those goals could easily have been avoided, like, as in the first one and I believe the third one, where you watch some of these goalies like Carey Price in Montreal, who is leading his team, a team that, like, nobody thought would get this far into the Final Four. And teams like Tampa, who have Vasilevsky, where every single shot that comes on net is getting, like, the whistle blows every time. Like, there's no rebounds. There's no, like, pop-ups. And the first and the third goal last night, that was textbook, like, why isn't that being covered? Why isn't that being wrapped up? Why is that just trickling right up front when that needs to end? You need to stop the Islanders before they get started and get it out of our zone quick and fast, because – once we get buried, we got buried in our zone several times, and that led to several horrible defensive turnovers that led to goals. And thankfully, at least we had some fight from our first line. But like Jake DeBrus getting scratched in game five, coming back in game six, doing nothing. The late addition of Taylor Hall not really stepping up in this game either, which I don't know if that's really his role, considering like he's, I guess, going to get paid like the number one guy when clearly he isn't that. I don't know if that's going to create something in the locker room where it's going to come off kind of selfish for next season. But I mean, I still think he's a great player on this team and can do a lot, considering that like he stepped in and put up more points with the Bruins in 18 games than he did pretty much the whole season in Buffalo. So yeah, sad loss as a Bruins fan, and I'm looking forward to at least seeing the Islanders play Tampa, which Tampa just rolled. Just fucking rolled over Carolina, which didn't even put up any sort of kind of fight, considering how well they played against Nashville to really battle that one out in seven. But then again, they went to seven. I believe the Tampa Bay won in five in their first round series. So I don't see Tampa losing to any team this year unless it's going to be in the finals. So it's going to be look like, I mean, either Vegas or Colorado is going to be playing Tampa in the finals as of right now, unless Montreal can create some sort of insane run they go on. But anyway, how the Celtics doing, guys?
That one hurts even more. Actually, that's a lie, because the Bruins had way more promise than the Celtics did. But before we go into that, I want to go back to what you're saying about Rask, where he's I feel like he's just not eating pucks whatsoever. And I felt like that was the whole thing throughout this whole series, where they're having these stupid goals where it was ricocheting off either themselves and somehow going in, or it was ricocheting off of Rask, and then they were just magically right there where the puck was. Do you think if we redid this series and Rask was able to eat the puck, that we would be able to win easily 5-6 games?
I believe we'd have a game seven if Rask plays like that. But
really,
when you can't, it's unbelievably boring to watch. Like if you watch a Montreal game, if you watch a Tampa game, Tampa's pretty high flying, so it's not as boring. But every single time that puck comes anywhere near, it's on goal, it's not on goal, whenever he has a chance, Carey Price, to cover that puck and restart the play, he does it. And it just kills momentum for the other team, just because they can't get anything going, because they can't get a rebound, they can't get another shot, they can't get cycling out the zone. Everything that they do to set up offense, they just got shut down because a dump in got deflected on net, covered up, and now they're out of the zone. It's creating chances for your defense to make the easy play to get out of the zone, whether it's off the glass and out or a nice smooth pass up the middle, and creating chances for your forwards to get out. And I mean, you can't score if you're in their zone, right?
Right.
You can't score if you're in their zone. So Carey Price gives his defense a chance to get it out every single time, no matter if that's deflecting one out of play to create a face-off or covering one up. It's one of the best ways to play defense, but one of the most boring to watch on TV.
So we saw six straight games of Rask not covering up the puck. What do you think that means for Rask? You think he's low-key washed? You think he's a little bit out of his prime? You think Swayman is that guy that we need to start incorporating more, where he's not playing? I don't know exactly how many games he was playing, but I know it was just a small handful. Do you think Rask is like not really the guy that we want him to be anymore?
It's so tough being as a person who has like a love for him and like hears what his teammates are saying about him, and he gets a bad rap. I bring this up every single time somebody's like, oh, Tuukka Rask sucks, Tuukka Rask doesn't do that. It's like you go from a guy like Tim Thomas, who's an American, who plays this like street hockey, Ken Dryden, diving all over the crease style, that, and then you go to this guy, Tuukka Rask, who is following in his footsteps, who plays the complete opposite style of hockey. Mm-hmm. He's smooth. He plays this European goaltending style that isn't crazy, that's solely based on the fact that, like, if you're dialed in, you can't score on him. But if he's not dialed in, he's going to let up the weak ones. He's going to let up the ones where he can't cover up a rebound. And it's very frustrating to watch. But I think, what other option do we have here? I mean, unless Swayman's ready to jump in right away and can show that he can be a number one, maybe him and Rask play more of a 50-50, Mrazek and the Carolina does a 50-50 goal. It does like a 1A, 1B kind of thing.
Yeah.
For their, for which is great. I mean, in Vegas does it too with Fleury and Leonard. But like when one goalie's off and one goalie's on, it can be tough because then that one goalie's kind of stuck in the role until the other one kind of snaps out of it. Or, and then if both guys are off, you're screwed because either way, whoever you play, they both aren't going. So I don't know. I think there definitely would be a, it seems to be like there's a goaltender situation. But then again, if Tuukka Rask had, say, like a torn ligament and was still playing or something that was way more drastic than he tried to battle through just to get us there, then I don't really see how he couldn't be the starter next season if he's coming out just as hot.
I feel you.
I mean, we haven't seen him play as well as he did in 2018 against the Blues, but I don't know. Devin, what do you think?
Well, I just wanted to bring up something that I felt like was important throughout this series was the loss of Carlo and Miller, two of our best defensemen. And ultimately, was it, how do you pronounce his last name? Barzal for the Islanders, who basically like tore us up the entire series once Carlo was out. And like when Carlo was in the game, like Barzal was doing nothing, but all of a sudden he became like this facilitator and he scored, I don't even know, I think it was five goals in the series. I think he scored a goal pretty much every game except last game. And do you think like the loss of Miller and Carlo was like a deciding factor along with like the poor goaltending with Rask towards those last two games?
Yeah, because I mean, you lose a key, two key guys that are big on their aggressiveness and their physical play on the ice, where like say we got Carlo out there last night instead of Grizzlick for both those goals. Maybe Carlo gets better body position and they don't get to those pucks right away.
Grizzlick had a rough game.
Yeah, he had a rough game. Two turn, like the first goal he's on the ice for just gets sidestepped, and then the third goal where it was like, buddy, what are you doing? Like just flick it in the corner. Flick it in the corner. You gave it to him. And it's like maybe if Carlo's there, he's a little bit bigger of a guy. Same with Miller. And maybe the – because, like, the Islanders came out hot last night, throwing big hits and coming at us fast. You have a guy like Miller on the ice. You have a guy like Carlo who's going to sit him down if he's coming at you. That may have backed him off a little bit and give the Bruins a little more space out there because they got smothered. And they got smothered hard in that second period. And they couldn't even breathe in the third. Like, somehow we're able to get, like, even – Marchand's, both Marchand's goals were great. Like, I know the second goal was great body position, and that was on a weaker defenseman that they have on the Islanders team. And somebody like Carlo or Miller may not let that happen. And that, again, that can change the series. But I didn't think we could win the Cup without Carlo, regardless.
Yeah. It's definitely tough.
I mean, what do you think the next step is? Do you think that, I mean, obviously, there's changes that are going to have to be made for the upcoming season. Because you see that the Bruins year to year are contenders, but they can never really knock on the door of a Stanley Cup. They're always just right there, but always fall short. What do you think the next move is? Do you think that they keep that first line together? What do you think, Mason? And Bez, feel free to chime in.
I mean, you're going to keep that line together until Bergeron or Marchand want to leave or retire. Because I know there's no chance Bergeron's going to leave to go to another team. No chance Marchand is, and I love Blue. And Pasta loves being here. They all buy in with that. Like, you take a little less money and you can get better players in your team. It's if everyone can continue that mindset. I think we trade DeBrusk for another D-man this summer. He had nothing this year. I know he's a good kid and he had a great couple years in Boston, but we need another skill guy or another big defenseman on the back end along with Carlo and Miller. Where, like, imagine we have Big Z still. He needed that veteran presence in the locker room where, like, he could have stepped up, been a fifth or sixth defenseman, but really gave that veteran leadership to maybe power these guys and inspire some people to put a little bit more into it and honestly defend better again around the net. And that's something that, like, I was listening to a podcast today about that where it's like, what if the Bruins kept them and they had that another veteran D? Because right now they don't have that. They got McAvoy, who's our best defenseman. He's still really young, but –
Torrey, like, Krug as well. If we kept Torrey
Krug as well.
Yeah.
He's another guy that's another offensive threat who's great. Who I don't even know why he ended up leaving, but well, I know that he didn't have a deal for him. And it's like you have a guy like you have all these guys who are you've got great offensive talent, but you don't really have much of a back end anymore, considering like you lose two of your top D. It's like nobody else can really fill that role that Miller and Carlo were, because I lost my train of thought. Yeah, I think they got to at least move some guys around to bring in some better defense. And I don't know, maybe look at a new goalie, but I can't see who you're going to get for Rask to take his contract for what he's produced, considering that, like, the rumor that he's the main injured and he's getting old, he's not getting any younger. So we either got to find somebody, we either got to make some moves in the draft or do some. Oh, I got a quick story though. Game four. Yes, game four. We were at me and Cole were at a bar in, like, right by the Grand Canyon. And we ended up watching the game with these Islanders fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like every like 10 minutes, the guy would like, he was a stat nerd. So like every like 10 minutes, he'd throw out like a random, like, ooh, this guy better than this guy because he did this. And it was like, I don't know if he was doing it to genuinely just tell me or if he was doing it to just be a dick. But he ended up giving me the worst handshake of my life as he left.
And he gave you one of these?
He did. He gave me one of those. Real soft. And it honestly, I left the bar a little sour just because we had just lost. And I'd gotten this horrible handshake from this guy who I think was trying to be nice, but just didn't know he was kind of being a dick. Or I don't know. I was just like, I didn't even say anything after a while. Just like, all right, I'm just going to sip my beer. Fuck it. Like, all right, yeah. Oh, cool. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It kills the vibe, 100%.
Yeah.
Let's keep the drinks flowing and you got no worries.
Yeah, right? Jesus. So what else we got on the agenda?
I mean, now we can move into some Celtics talk. I know the last podcast is basically like what 90% of it was. But since then, the Celtics Brad Stevens has now been on the lookout or the search for a new head coach as his new role as a president of basketball operations. I know that Woj tweeted like four potential candidates. Three of them I didn't even know. And one of them was Chauncey Billups. So I feel like at this point, like, I think Chauncey Billups is on the top of their radar. And I know a lot of other teams or a few other teams are interested in him as well. So, I mean, that would be me and Bez talked about this, but we both like Chauncey and we think that he would be a good coach for the Celtics. So
is he going to be coaching with those high socks on too? Like he was when he played up to his knees.
I mean, if it brings us dubs, then he definitely should.
Yeah, I remember playing rec league basketball. I was like, I had the high socks on to like just below my knee. My stepbrother's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm Chauncey Billups."
I didn't know Mason was a Chauncey fan.
I don't know, NBA 2K09 or something.
Yeah,
he was on the Bobcats, I think.
Mason was a hooper.
Yeah, I love wearing the shooting sleeves more than anything.
It increases your shooting percentage by like at least 30% when you put on the
shooting sleeve. It's an attribute booster right there. It's wonderful. But I'm looking at that tweet from Woj. So we have Chauncey Billups, Darvin Ham, Charles Lee, Jamal Mosley, and I'm Udoka. I haven't researched much into these coaches, but I know one that I did wish was on here is Juwan Howard. I wish he was on here, but he does not want to leave Michigan. It's the only thing that sucks.
I can't blame him. I can't blame him.
I can't either because I looked at the ESPN 100 for people who's committing to Michigan. And basically they have like three or four top 30, top 40 players coming to Michigan this fall. So for him to make some sort of March Madness run last season and still be able to bring in these other guys to make them compete and be better than Duke, be better than Kentucky, who seems to be a little washed as to lately, makes sense why you wouldn't want to leave. But I definitely want Chauncey Billups because that would be pretty dope. That's a former player who was a stud and going to be around some really talented guys.
Speaking of talent, or maybe not so talented anymore, is Kemba Walker. I know that Celtics fans have their mixed, you know, feelings about him, but apparently he wants out of Boston. First, I want to ask, why do you think he wants out, and where would be a good landing spot for him?
So to answer the first part, I think he wants out because we've tried to move him so many times. Like, there was a report that came out about an hour ago that we were actively trying to, like, flip players, LaMarcus Aldridge for Kemba Walker. Thank God that did not happen.
And then he retired, right?
He had to retire because he had that, like, heart problem. Like, he literally could not play basketball anymore.
Damn.
And the amount of times that we've tried to move Kemba, because we've always really had him on the trade block. We've never been super public about it, but we've pretty much always had him on the trade block. And I think he's starting to realize, oh, I'm starting to get older. I don't think it's a bad sort of like thing going on in Boston between Brad and Kemba, but I do think it's a very smart move for us to trade him. I think he's going to retire in the next 2-3 years anyways, but the place that I think that he fits in the best, sadly, is the Lakers. I saw a quick little report about how if Kemba plays there, he has a lot of people around him that can support his poor defense. So guy blows by him, they got to go through Anthony Davis now, or they got to go through Montrezl Harrell. So the Lakers is a kind of a team that I think he fits in well. Another team that I thought was pretty interesting where he can sort of have that veteran sort of role is the Pelicans. They need a point guard badly. Even though they have Lonzo, I don't think he does the job very well in New Orleans, but I think those are the two places that I see Kemba playing.
Yeah. I could see him on the Lakers because the Lakers are in dire need of a point guard. I mean, who is their starter? Dennis Schroeder this year.
Yeah, and he's like, I love Dennis Schroeder. I've always loved him, but he's not that true sort of point guard that'll really facilitate the ball and knock down important shots. So,
yeah.
Don't want to see him in LA, but I feel like it's the best place for him.
I feel like you could say that for almost every player. You're like, oh, just go to LA. I mean,
that's what they're, a lot of them were doing in the last couple of years. I feel like people are starting to see that the Lakers aren't as good as they could be, but. Yeah.
They definitely need some help off the bench, as you saw in the playoffs.
LeBron can't do it all anymore.
No.
Do we just get picks for him?
We can get more. I saw some trade rumors that made a lot of sense. One was with the Pelicans where we'll get Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe. I know Bledsoe gets roasted in Boston because of Rozier, but that would be so valuable. That's a big man that could potentially be a starter, but that's a solid big man. Where if we play against the Brooklyn Nets and we're like, yo, KD's being annoying as hell, we need somebody to sort of knock him on his back. Steven Adams is that guy. You want to drive in the paint on Steven Adams? I don't think so. And then Eric Bledsoe is just a solid point guard to come off the bench where he's a little bit better than like Wanamaker, who I loved. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, if you trade Kemba and
don't say Jaylen.
No. Like if we did Kemba and Pitt and like in picks I wouldn't want to give up anybody else, but like, do you think that would even be a feasible trade? Like Kemba and like, I don't even know what we have for picks to give away, to be honest, but
we have a fair amount of picks. We have more than a lot of other teams. That's probably our best sort of asset right now is with our trade values. We have a lot of picks that honestly we should be giving up. I don't think we need to keep on focusing on, okay, 2021 draft, who we getting? 2022, who we getting?
We've tried that and it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. We're at the point where we barely have anybody older than 24. Like, we look like the Thunder right now, but a little bit better. We need to move these picks and move a lot of these older guys that aren't doing much for us. Like, love Semi Ojeleye. Got to find a place for him. Got to use him in a trade.
We need some bench help.
I think that's why I like with the Kemba, you give up Kemba and you get these two players that add a ton of value.
But they're not saying Kemba for Adams and Bledsoe straight up, right? It's got to be.
No, straight up.
Really?
Yeah. That's a deal that if that came right across the table, I'm shaking their hand right there.
Oh, easily, but I don't really, question. I don't think they're giving them up. I don't think they're giving up Adams and Bledsoe.
I don't know. It's weird in New Orleans because they have that crazy talent over there. They've got Brandon Ingram. They've got Zion Williamson. Even Lonzo Ball. I like that guy. Me and you have talked about Lonzo Ball a lot, where we like Lonzo a lot. I feel like he's matured, but they don't know what they're doing in New Orleans. So I think we need to go for those kind of teams that don't know what they're doing. They don't really know what the future looks like. So they're still trying to fit. They look like us when in like 2016. We were sort of piecing it together, but we had no idea where it was going to go.
Is Mason driving right now?
Safely. He's safely driving.
Yeah, I'm driving to hockey. Don't worry. You guys are on my like Tom thing here. I'm hands-free right here.
He's always safe.
Always.
I get in a real car accident on the podcast. I just get fucking T-boned by like an 18-wheeler. Giving a sports take.
I'm in the middle of a podcast, guy. Like, why'd you just fucking T-bone me?
That's solid publicity right there.
I was gonna say, I'm like,
classic.
The wheel.
This guy's speaking through his phone, doesn't even have a mic.
He's
speaking through my AirPods earlier, and where it was looking, it said probably sounded pretty good, right?
Yeah, it sounded pretty smooth.
All right, good. So I'll just use the AirPods for now. I didn't have any lag. I didn't strike out this week, boys. That's, I think we're looking at progress there.
I had some critics and some bad reviews about the five times you lost connection. I was like, come on, it's funny.
But, it's part of the show.
Yeah.
I get to see like. So like especially older people just being like, who the fuck is that kid with his internet? Like, what, you guys have issues over there? Like, you can't cut that out? Like, I can see us getting ripped for that. Luckily no strikeouts this week besides me behind the wheel right now. But hockey. I'm surprised I had the late games, but I'm going to hopefully play a decent game here. I haven't played a game in like almost 2 weeks. Last game I played, I had 2 points though.
Hey,
let's go.
As many as Marshan in a playoff game. So
yes, sir.
I'm not going to toot my own horn here, but, so we're on our way to that. I hate cutting you guys short. I hate cutting it short because fucking I got to leave, but, you guys can stay on and fucking basketball talk. Have you guys heard about the PLL thing about the finger? I need to bring this up. Have you heard the story?
The finger? No.
About the finger getting bit off? So, let me read the names here. I'm gonna be paused here. I'm getting the names. So, it was Matt Gaudette and Austin Statt. An old beef from last season in the PLL. If you don't know the PLL, it's the Premier Lacrosse League. And they travel city to city and play like a tournament style every weekend, but it's like a regular season that builds up to like a playoffs in the end. Like they come
in.
If you're from the Boston area, they do a day at Gillette. There's like, I think there's like 10 teams in the league and you watch like 10 games play and it's
an all day event. Right?
Yeah. I'm definitely going to try to check one out this summer, but, these two, were in the hotel during, one of their pre games or something like that. Or like during the preseason, after one of the games, two teams are at the bar and I ended up getting a little scruffle and the one of the guys ended up biting the other dude's finger off. Like tip of his finger is gone. If you look it up on Google, it's a pretty graphic image, but it is bit his finger off. You imagine biting somebody's finger off over a fight? Like you're not swinging, you're biting the finger off, but how stupid do you have to be to stick your finger in somebody's mouth?
Yo, seriously. I mean, it sounds like some Mike Tyson thing going on over here.
Yeah, right? Where it's like, but if somebody sticks a finger in your mouth, you're biting down, right? Like,
damn.
That's kind of justified.
I mean, I don't know if I'm...
I needed to, like, focus.
See that.
Focus.
Looks pretty gnarly, though. I can just tell it's all fucked up.
Dude, that's crazy.
Up, yeah.
Dude, the lacrosse boys ain't playing around.
Dude, no doubt.
No, they don't play easy.
on the in the PLL league. But there was that, and then there was a fight, I believe, in the Buffalo training camp during their one of their scrimmage games. I believe two linemen, an offensive and a defensive lineman, were going at it in Buffalo, which I think that's good for the team. I mean, it worked for the Blues; they won a Stanley Cup. Are we looking at a Bills Super Bowl this year? Little Bills Mafia table action?
Hell no.
No.
Hell no. No.
Not yet. Not yet.
No.
Josh Allen doesn't have a better year than he did last year?
I mean, he had a pretty solid year.
I think he's one of those guys where he has a good year, but it's nothing where it's like, oh my God, he's legit as hell. But I'm not a huge Josh Allen guy.
Number one in this league.
What?
Like, I think he's got legit number one. He won a playoff game last year. Like, I don't know. I think this Bills team can rock pretty well here.
I think they're going to end up in the same spot as they did last year, to be honest.
They'll compete, but I don't think it's something where it's, yeah, they're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, they're going to potentially win the AFC Championship. No way. Browns. Browns are going to go to the Super Bowl.
You're saying Browns.
Browns, baby. Baker Mayfield.
Baker's going to be a pro bowler. Just sauce dimes to Jarvis Landry.
Dude, he literally is on a pro bowl offense. It's disgusting. He's got Nick Chubb. He's got Kareem Hunt, who should be in prison, but he's on the field.
He should.
And then he's got Jarvis Landry. He's got Odell Beckham. And they've got that that one other wide receiver. It was pretty nasty. Younger guy. Take 2 seconds here. Oh, and they at tight end, they also have Austin Hooper, who's pretty solid.
Oh, I forgot they got Hooper, yeah.
Yeah. Even Peoples Jones, younger dude, pretty solid. I am not counting out the Browns. Oh, Rashard Higgins. That's my guy.
I mean, he's all right.
Their wide receiver depth is nuts.
How's their defense looking?
Insane. Like always.
Okay. So then, so Browns legit contender.
Yeah.
All right. Look out for them week one. Yeah.
I'm thinking. Listen, we play Mac Jones, Super Bowl winners already. Right there.
You think Tebow got it?
Imagine Mac just takes us to the ship.
Dude, he's a baller. His name is McCorkle. Like, he's a baller.
Is his name really McCorkle?
Yeah. Let me get the full name. It's a long name. It's
McCorkle Jones,
dude. It's so funny. Michael McCorkle Mac Jones.
Oh, jeez,
that's his name, Michael McCorkle Mac Jones. Like, what was his parents thinking? Like that's awful.
It's like Steve Urkel and Mac combined,
dude. His mugshot is so funny. It's so funny.
I'm trying to park my car, I'm gonna scream at somebody. Sorry.
Damn, he looks like...
He looks good. He looks really sweaty.
He's like a frat guy who's just on like a three-day bender.
He looks really sweaty.
Dude, there's that picture, and then there's this like nice dress.
He's all dapper.
Yeah. That's his picture for the frat.
Beautiful. Big frat guy, Mac Jones.
Big frat guy,
frat star.
Yeah, but that dude, I mean, with that sort of belly, you know, he's putting him back, like without question.
He's killing a keg by himself.
He's emptying kegs while doing a keg stand. Just nuts.
Going on there for a quick 30.
Yes, sir.
That's the way to do it. That's how you got to raise them, boys.
Dude, are you already at the rink?
Yeah, I'm at the rink. I might even get dressed on the call here.
Good old Hood Park pod
as well.
Oh, you're at Hood Park. I got you.
How can me and Bez get involved in this league? Like, I can't skate for shit.
I have skates. I have blades. I've got a stick. Like, I've got a hockey helmet. It's hanging up on my wall.
I got a hockey helmet. It's hanging up on my wall.
Do you guys?
I got a bucket. My bad.
Do you guys use a ball or a puck?
It's a ball.
Okay.
But for both the leagues, it's like a Facebook thing. And like you have to like there's like probably 100 people in, but like there's only like I'd say like 60 spots. So it's like you have to get like drafted into the league. Oh, and then you have to get, and then like if you don't show up every week, you immediately get booted for like next round. So damn. It's like missing like 2 weeks, like I did, is like I gotta like play tonight, or else like I might not be in the July session here.
Damn, they're cutthroat there.
Yeah, that's a serious league.
They don't fuck around in this league.
Dude, they got you on like a contract.
Practically, like, it's like every Thursday nights for an hour, they own my ass.
Damn, man. Well, Dev and I are gonna come through one of these times.
Yeah,
actually, we might bring our towels and start. If you score, we're going wild.
If the towels going on, that actually
sick, we're just dude. Acting like stupid. We're acting like the classic Hood Park, the Hood Park crowd. You just get after it. You act
we like won't those. Stick out whatsoever. We'll just be sitting there waving our towels, and people be like, "Oh, those are just normal like local Hood Parkers."
I'm gonna wear my wife beater.
Yeah. They're the super.
We're wearing wife beaters. We're gonna rub them up with some dirt.
Smoking butts.
Smoking yeah, butts on the sidelines.
Marlboros, right?
Yeah, man. Crushing Bud Heavies. That's just that's the name of the game for outdoor hockey. I don't know what you guys call it. What is it? Rollerblade hockey?
Is it yeah, a little hockey? Road. No, just a little roller.
I got you. Street hockey. There we go. There we go. Street hockey.
Street hockey. But yeah, I mean we're about 5 minutes from puck drop here. I gotta take a piss, so I'll probably just I'll have to let you guys go. I mean, I think this is a pretty good podcast, right?
Yeah,
I think we kicked some ass this week, right? Fuck.
Without a doubt, man. You gotta let that continue right into your game too.
Yeah, give me a hattie. Oh. Give me a hattie for old time's sake.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna be going hard tonight. I need something to happen. I'm feeling good too. The legs feel good. I gotta make sure I start buzzing right off the hop.
You know, I'm only like 10 minutes from Hood Park. I might as well just pull up. Like, you guys need a guy.
If you wanna pull up for our second game at 8:30, that'd be pretty
good. Yo, Bez.
Dev, you're half hour away. You get there on time. Actually, you're probably less than that because it's Hood Park.
I pull up just to watch.
The lights are on, so.
Dude, that might be a move. Not gonna lie. I might be there, Mason. I got towels too.
Here, Bez, you drive to me, scoot me, and then we go to.
Yeah, not happening. No shot. That's happening. I got to drive 80 hours that way to just come back this way.
Yeah, Litchfield's in like a different country. Litchfield's in a different country from Derry.
Dude, yeah, honestly, Litchfield. Does feel like oh, BT's here.
Really?
Oh, really? He's hooping.
Yeah, I'm looking at him. I'm looking at BT right now, and Tom.
Get BT on the pod right now.
All right, I'll go say hi.
That's actually crazy.
Yo, BT. Oh, wait, let me see if I can get a. How do I flip the
camera? Get him on there. I forgot that we're BT.
Say hi to Bez and. Bez.
What's up?
Yo!
You guys hey, doing the pod?
Yeah.
Yep, you're on the pod, my boy.
I can't hear. Oh, yeah. Oh. All right. Yeah, I'll have to let you guys go. All right. I'll see you guys down here, right?
Yep, I'll be there.
All right, sounds good, boys.
All right,
peace. All right, well, Mason has left the pod because, you know, he's got a big game 7 coming up down at the Derry, New Hampshire Hood Park.
It's pretty serious.
I mean, from the sounds of it, there's only 60 spots and there's like 100. They got like thousands of people trying to join this Facebook group.
That's all I was hearing. Hundreds of thousands of people waiting to join one of these teams.
But Mason is like cream of the crop, like one of the best in the country.
Yeah.
So he always gets drafted.
They recruit him every single year. It's nuts. He gets fan mail and everything. It's like these dudes, like wives sending him fan mail. It's nuts.
Yeah. He's a lady killer.
He really is. King of the men's league.
I feel like I'd be a Sean Thornton type vibe where I'm like, you know, I'm not strong enough to really, you know, fight anyone, but I'll just pretend I am.
Yeah.
And I can blade, but not that well. So I'll just go out there and just start laying hits. And my puck skills are trash. So like, I might not even come out with a stick. I might just go out there with nothing and just start laying bodies. That's it.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know how I would play.
I don't even know if you can hit in the league, actually.
So what's the point of playing? If you can't hit in the league, then what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, you might as well run around and just like shoot on an empty net. Like, there's no point that you can't hit anybody. I'm probably going to show up to that. I'm not going to lie. I'm probably like, if we wrap this up in the next like 15 minutes, I might be there. Cause I'm interested. I didn't know that they did that at Hood Park.
Why do I got to be 20? Why do I got to be so far?
Dude, come move back to Derry, man. I don't know what you're doing out there in Litchfield. It's a beautiful house, but I don't know what you're doing in Litchfield.
Blame my parents. They moved us to the boonies.
Dude, why Litchfield? Why Litchfield? You went past Londonderry's pretty nice. You guys had to go past Londonderry. And you were almost in Hudson. That's pretty nice. But you were like, you know what? I'm going to settle right between them. And I'm going to go with Litchfield. Middle of nowhere. Awful.
Don't come here. Don't come to Litchfield. Zero diversity.
Zero.
I'm dark as they get here.
They think that Dev and his brothers are like Taco Fall. Like, they're exotic. Like, it's confusing for everybody there. People go just shoot hoops and they think you're in the NBA.
Just gather around and stare at us. They've never seen someone with a dark complexion.
Yeah, dude. People in Litchfield don't leave Litchfield. So everything's new to them.
You know the movie like Get Out? That's Litchfield, New Hampshire.
Is that how you feel? Yeah. You feel like you're in Get Out? Makes sense.
That movie's whack. If you haven't watched it, go watch that right now.
Yeah. Without a doubt, go watch that. It'll freak you out a little bit. Make you think.
Well, to close out, you got anything else for me?
Nah, man, not too much. I mean, I'm just working on getting the stupid sunburn to go away and stop peeling. But yeah, just so everybody knows on this pod, I learned black people do burn. I got my first sunburn on Sunday. But just so everybody knows, write this down, send it to your friend, send it to your mom. Like, just to spread that word so people don't have to ask. Black people do burn. I learned it on Sunday. And listen, I've made fun of all of my white friends for getting sunburns. I am so sorry to all of them for making fun of them. This has been the worst week of my life.
Is this your first sunburn ever?
Dude, by far my first. I've gotten like a little bit of red here and there, like just a little bit of irritation, but not a real sunburn. I literally was like fully red like a lobster because I didn't put any sunblock on. I was at the beach for 8.5 hours and it was like the UV was high, but which I never understood what UV was until you go to the beach with like five white girls. So they'll tell you all about the UV and how important it is. But I'm at the beach, cold as hell. I'm sitting there and it's like windy and I've got goosebumps. So I'm like, I'm not going to burn. I don't need to put on any sort of sunblock. Never done it before. Not going to do it now. I'm not going back in the sun after this. Nope. Yeah. I'm good. I'm
all set. Your summer's over. Call it quits.
Pretty much.
I got torched too. I had the same thought process as you. I was out at Lake Winnesquam on the sandbar. I'm like, I don't need sunscreen. My mom's like, are you sure? You definitely want to put some on. And I'm like, nah, don't need it. And
I don't need that.
And then I get home like that night and I'm just looking at myself in the mirror. I'm like, oh shit, I got absolutely lit up by the sun.
Dude, it's brutal. I'm good with the sun. I'm good with it. And again, I'm sorry to all my white friends for making fun of you for getting sunburns and like slapping your back and like poking your sunburn. Like
the guy who gives like a mean 5-star on the sunburn.
Yeah. Dude, the waves were crazy though at the beach. I got 5-starred by like a wave like every single 5 minutes.
Were you trying to body surf? Is that what you're going for?
Yeah. And this one time I like was going through the wave and got like fully spun. So when I came out, I was like, yo, I don't even know how I'm alive. Then all of a sudden the wave just crashed right on top of me. And it was, I felt like I was in like a WWE ring. It was nuts. But
I don't even know how I'm alive.
It was crazy. But yeah, to wrap everything up, don't get a sunburn. Definitely put some sunblock on. Oh, actually one last thing. My apologies. Don't try to look up how to stop peeling. The articles will just say you shouldn't have gotten a sunburn in the first place. It literally said it to me. You should have put sunblock on. And that was that. And I was like, wow, it's too late now. So listen, put sunblock on, do not get a sunburn, and don't be out at the beach for 8.5 hours. It's not worth it. But that's all I've got.
You heard it here first on the third episode, the final say. Fourth? I don't even know. I really don't know at this point.
Yeah, dude, I think it's the fourth.
We're just gonna keep it rolling.
Yeah.
But
at the episode 9, let's get it.
If you made it this far, please make sure to subscribe on YouTube because it'll be on there, and then check it out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Anchor as well. So thanks for listening and watching. We'll see you next time.
Peace.